However you got here, you're currently listening to the Perry Hall Family Worship Center podcast. Thanks for giving us a chance. If today's message speaks to you, encourages you, or just leaves you with questions, you can reach out to us at connect@perryhall.life.
It's good to see everybody, and we are started back into our study of Book of James. And today the title is Draw Close to God. I do need to do just a little bit of review, mainly from last week, as we are picking up in chapter 4. If you remember last week, it was really talking about conflict in the church. And we got to continue to remember that James is writing to the church. So it's kind of, he's writing to you and I just the same. So we got to kind of keep thinking, okay, if I'm a child of God, if I'm saved, Jesus says you must be born again. If you're born again, you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you are the church. You are the church, not just a religious person. You go to church and you think that you're a Christian. No, it's if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and you are the church or part of the church. Now, what does that mean? Well, we're inside this building here, and we call it the church, which we can, but really the church is made up of people. And the example I used last week is, you know, a couple of us could be, you know, up at the shopping center parking lot talking about God or whatever. That church is taking place. We don't need to have the building. So I need to probably continue to say this as we go. Remember, church, talking about the church, talking about you and I. So the last week, again, we talked about the conflicts in church. And if you remember, the root of this, these verses that we talked about was really pride. That was really the problem. And you're going to see, even as we go today, pride is kind of weaved through these verses. It's kind of amazing when you see these verses and like God is calling us out on them in one sense. So today's message, James continues to talk about problems of the church people. Now, we talked about this a couple times. James is coming right out of the gate swinging. He's coming after each and every one of us as, you know, as the church. And if you remember, he's like the pastor of these 12 tribes that have been scattered abroad because of persecution. And these are Jewish now followers of Jesus. And you can see they're kind of going against the grain, if you will, because Jewish now followers of the Messiah, that doesn't go real well. So they were dealing with a lot of persecution. But as the church was forming at this point, they also needed a lot of correction. So this is why last week I felt like, you know, James is, I'm in a boxing match with him and he's continuing to pound us. Today, I feel like he hits me in the gut. And probably for you as well, because he says some things right to the point for the church. And that's for you and I. So I'm going to continue to kind of push this thing that he's talking to the church. So I want to read our text today, which is James 4, 7 through 10. And then we'll go back and we'll just kind of tear it apart like we've been doing. I'm going to add something to it as I go, but you'll notice it. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Church. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Church. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Church. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Church. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Church. Again, he's speaking to us. You know, we can say, well, this is written, you know, a long, long time ago, but it's for us to this very day. And I think what I want to do is I want to backtrack here now, and it's important to see what he's really talking about. Because there's some things here, it's a little bit like, what are you talking about towards the end there? I'm a little confused. But I want to start out in verse 7 again. And it says, therefore, submit to God. Now, when you see a therefore start in a sentence or start in a verse, you have to say, what is therefore there for? Why is it there? No, why is it there? There's a reason why it's there. So the reason is, if you look at the definition, it means to accordingly so, or by extension. Here's how the dots connect. So when you see this word therefore, it's connecting to something. It's connecting to the previous verse. So this is why we have to kind of backtrack just a little bit into last week's verses and just pull one of them out. So we're going back, James 4, 6. And it says here, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This James, again, you're seeing there's a problem in pride. There's a problem in pride, and God says he resists the proud. We'll talk about this word resist in a minute, but it's to push you away. God says that? Yeah, but he gives grace to the humble. So let's get back to verse 7 now. This is where we're going to pick it up. This is where that therefore is. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There's a lot you can look at this one verse, but here's where I want to start out, is this. We have to do something. Therefore, submit to God. That's to you. That's to me. We have to do something. We just finished up our Wednesday night Bible studies on anxiety. And it was really a great group, without a doubt. We've learned so much in 5 weeks, I think it was. And we got so much knowledge. We got so much practicality. We got the Word of God and everything else. But I think the theme that I was trying to push on this anxiety is we learned a lot. Now we got to do it. If we don't do anything about what we've learned on anxiety, you're going to still deal with it. And it's the same here. God is telling us we need to do something here. So let's look at this word submit for a minute. Submit means to rank under. Submit to the Lord. That's what it's really talking about here. It's a military kind of term. It's used as will you submit to the commanding officer? Or like, you know, aye, aye, captain, you know, that kind of stuff. Whatever the captain says, you do. And really, you don't ask questions. So we see this submitting here. And we see in this word, this here, submit to God. So we submit to God. We come under his authority through the word of God. We'll talk about that in a minute. Then it says, resist the devil. Now we look at this word resist. And it means to stand against. It means to withstand. It means to oppose. It means to complete stand against. It means to be hostile, be unfriendly. This is to the devil. Now, let me use this as an example, and I've used this before as well. It's like if somebody's trying to break into your house, and they're at the door, and you're at the other side of the door, you have to resist so the bad guy doesn't come in. And it takes a lot of work because they want to come in. This bad guy wants to come in. You're on one side of the door and you're holding. You're not just saying, you know, that's good. No, you're holding it. You're being hostile. You're being unfriendly in this situation. And I tell you what, if it's not a little kid on that one side of the door, if it's an adult, and I almost say this man or woman, they're going to resist so that bad guy gives up and he goes. Because that's the power that takes place in people's lives. So this is what it means to resist the devil. It doesn't mean just to kind of lollygag and just say certain things. It means it takes active, it takes work, and the devil doesn't give up. That thief wants to come back again. And then it says, he will flee. Here's the promise. God says, God tells us if we resist the devil, he will flee. And that's really cool. But that's not accurate because I didn't say a verse. Therefore, submit to God. If you don't submit to God, you ain't going to resist the devil. He's going to whoop you, and he's going to tear you to pieces. And the promise of he will flee won't happen. So three things here. We submit to God. First thing, most important thing, resist the devil, and the promise is he will flee. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But when we see here, it's the promise. I want to say this. Don't underestimate the devil's power. He can work us over. But don't overestimate it either. Because we have control by the word of God, by the power of the blood, by the power of the cross. We can resist the devil and he can flee. I don't want anybody to think that the devil is just some fairy tale type of thing that we hear on TV or we see on shows and cartoons or whatever. He's real. And when I say devil, I'm really talking about demons. I'm convinced to say this. No one here has ever encountered the devil. You've encountered the demons. The devil is only one being, and he's not all over the place, but his demons are the ones that are watching you, that are studying every move you make. They know what you're watching. They know what you're listening to. They know where you go. They know how to set up snares. The Bible calls them snares. They're traps. So the demons set these traps up for you. If you're weak in an area in your life, let me tell you, that snare is going to be right in front of you. So don't underestimate his power, but don't overestimate it either. Let me say something else here. In 1 Corinthians 15 says this, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals or good character. God is saying this, don't fool yourself. Don't think you can go in places and you're okay. My relationship with God, I'm strong. I'm strong and nothing getting made in the way of my relationship. Well, we go back to verse 6 there, a pride issue. When God says, don't be deceived, you're lying to yourself. We need not to go to places where we shouldn't go, whether in the natural, you know, certain things we shouldn't participate in the natural, you know, wildlife, partying life, all that kind of stuff, but also in the mind. Don't let your mind go certain places either. And I'll say this again, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. God is warning us. Verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Man, this is harsh words coming from James to church people, to followers of Jesus Christ. This is pretty harsh words. But it's an invitation with a promise. You seek God and you'll find him. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. He's making a point here. There's a separation between you and God. There's a separation. And we gotta understand that God is calling us back. He's not telling us to hit the road. He's saying, draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. If you can just kind of picture this a little bit, like if this is God here and he's saying, draw near, when we start drawing near, he's coming to us as well. But again, notice here, it's something that you have to do. It's something you have to do. Many times we think we just pray and everything's going to work. But faith without works is dead. We got to be doing something. We got to be applying ourselves into the things of God and what he wants. But God's calling us back. Draw near is a command. I don't think it's a suggestion. I think it's a command that God is calling even the church people. Get back and get in focus with God. James goes on and says, cleanse your hands. It's just going deeper and kind of like, what's he talking about here? Well, basically, it's a picture of the ceremonial cleansing in the Old Testament that was necessary for approaching God. The priests, before they would go into the tabernacle, they had to get cleaned up. They had to clean their hands up before they approach God. We thank the Lord. We thank the Lord through the grace and everything that God has supplied us, that we have access to God. We don't have to go into a certain place. Why? Because God is in us. Do you accept that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? The Holy Spirit indwells in you. He's inside of you. And we have to kind of understand that. We don't necessarily have to think we got to go to a certain place. But then he goes in and says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. What is he saying here? Here's what he's saying. He's saying he's rebuking the Christian who is a worldly Christian. A worldly Christian. Yeah, they're a Christian on Sundays. They may accept that Jesus is their Lord and Savior, which I believe that's who he's talking to, followers of Jesus. But he's saying, look, you're working both sides. You're on the world side, and you're on the God side. Now, let's face it, we have it today. We have this very thing going on today. James called them a double-minded. Double-minded means two-soul, S-O-U-L-D, two-souled person. Did you catch that soul, that kind of soul? So again, your soul is partially over here and partially over here. And God is saying, you got to make up your mind here. Get right, church. You know, we see that God wants a church that's pure, that's holy. We really do. And sometimes as humans, we're working both sides. It's all about our enjoyment. It's about us being entertained. It's about us being happy and fulfilled. It's about us that if nothing better happens, I'm coming to church Sunday, you know? If I don't have to, you know, do something, work or whatever, if I can work it in, I'm going to come to church. That's the double-minded person. Then James goes in and says this, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. When we understand how we hurt God, how we offend God, we should be extremely sad. Even in the laughter, in the joy, and everything else, when we realize that there is something that's wrong here, we should be upset at ourselves. We should be mourning. Now, many people, they don't mourn over their sin. They say, God, forgive me my sins, and move on. It's like they're not sensitive to even what happened. And it talks about your laughter. What's laughter have to do? It's showing the insensitivity that this person has for sin. Oh, they're out partying, they're enjoying, they're having a good time. They don't mind it. You know, just go home, maybe ask God for forgiveness or whatever. But let their ha 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 and their funny fun times with everybody partying, you know, let it turn into mourning. Again, sin should really bother us. It should hurt us. We should grieve because of our sin and not be happy with it, not to be okay with it, not to say, oh, I got a relationship with God. I'm solid. Me and him are solid. I don't have any problem with that. I can go to different places. God tells you, don't. You're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself if you're going to the parties, the nightclubs, or you're going to the internet, to the junk that might be on the internet. You're deceiving yourself because God says you're deceiving. And I'll say this, if you're not deceiving yourself, then you got a pride issue. Oh, I'm fine. I can go there. I can do this. Don't be deceived here. Throughout scripture, God is continuing to give us warnings. Don't do this. Don't do that. Why? Because he's mean? No, because he loves us. That's why he doesn't want us to go down the wrong path like many Christians do. And it takes a while to come back. Romans 13:14 says this, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Really talking about some worldly stuff right now. Okay, we're talking about the sins of the flesh. You know, I've said it plenty of times that we need to be careful as Christians, how we present ourselves. Trying to dance around this one here. I'm looking for a trap door to slide out of here in a minute. But women need to dress appropriate. Many women dress to be looked at. That's wrong. You know, many men, you know, like, you know, this is why I wear a long sleeve. I don't want to show off my muscles, okay? I want to be, yeah, it's hard to get around these muscles, though. But sometimes, I tell you what, we as Christians, we snuggle up, if you will, to sin. We kind of cozy up with sin. And sin takes us away from God. Oh, there's pleasure in sin. Don't get me wrong. There's pleasure in sin for a season. But then death follows. So we see the warnings. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh. Amen. Don't go to places that you shouldn't go to. This is what James is saying. He's talking to the church. You know, mind or physical being. Christians shouldn't be hanging out in bars. I'm just throwing it out there. Christians shouldn't be hanging out in bars. I don't care how strong in the faith you are. But how are these people going to hear the word of God? How you know, if nobody's here, if nobody's getting in there? Unless you're anointed as an evangelist, that's a different story. But thus far, I would say, well, how's it going? How many people have you led to the Lord? If you're dabbling in these areas, and I know I'm treading on fine line here, but there's no apology. Because as Christians, we got to know this. And as James was talking to the new founded churches, if you will, 12 of them, he's got to lay out some guidelines. He's got to tell them, because who knows what's right from wrong? You don't know what's right from wrong unless you know the word of God. Amen. So don't cuddle up with sin. Don't approve sin. There's so much junk on TV that is just sin. I mean, they're celebrating sin. Oh, that's funny. And we all have a good time and we laugh at sin on the TV. I don't know. I don't want to get on a soapbox here, but I probably need to keep on moving. So in James 4:10, it says this: humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now we get back to this maybe pride thing. See, how do we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord? Well, what have we just learned? We need to grieve because of our sin. The sin needs, you know, it opposes you. Just like in a relationship, when somebody offends another, if a parent offends a child, or a child offends a parent, or husband and wife offends each other, that should make us sad. And we want to make sure we get that relationship right again. How else? We turn from our sin. Can't be doing the same thing over and over again. Repentance means to make a turnaround. It's different than saying sorry. A lot of times we say, God, I'm sorry for doing this, and then we do the same thing the next night, the next party night. We got to change our ways. That's humbling. All that's humbling right there. Admitting you're wrong, going before God. It's almost like a salvation message here, but James is talking to the church. This is the way we humble ourselves. But look at the promise. Look at the promise. He will lift you up. God will lift you up. God will raise you up. God will exalt you. You lowering yourself, getting that pride out and getting humble, you feeling like you're lowering yourself, but God says, now let me raise you up. And I want to be raised up by God. I really do. I want God to be my cheerleader, the one who's telling me, you know, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So let me just kind of bring us to a conclusion. It's a long conclusion, but let me just say here. As we draw near to God, he helps us resist the devil. I'm going to say this again. Don't underestimate the power of the devil. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy you. Let's just be real clear here. Let's just be real honest here. We see it in John 10:10. He's got a plan. We know God's got a plan. But we also know that the devil has a plan as well. And his plan is to put snares up, put traps up, and we all deal with them. See, the devil knows, again, what triggers you. And just whatever it may be, he'll put it in front of you. This thing might not bother me, but it might bother this person. And this person is going to have that snare, drugs, alcohol, you know, pornography. That'll be right there in front of them the whole time. But as you draw closer to God, you're kind of displacing, if you will, the sinful nature. You're filling up with God, and the bad is coming out and the good's coming in. And I want to say something. This is a daily, this is a consistent, constant thing to do. You don't just come to church and think you're full and you're good to go for a whole week. No, because the devil's out the door waiting for you. So our strength comes from getting closer to God. Submit to God, resist the devil. But as we submit, as we get closer to God, our strength comes from that. So does our peace. Our peace comes from getting closer to God. So does our joy. So does our patience. So does our healings. All these different things come as we get closer and closer to God. And I want to say this again. You can't resist the devil without God. We need the devil. No. That's bad theology there. But the true case is, we have to deal with them. We got to deal with this situation. And in 1 Peter 5:9, it says, resist him steadfast in the, what? In the faith. In the faith. That's the way we connect with God, through our faith. Now, faith comes by hearing the word of God. So if you're not hearing the word of God, or if you're just hearing this word on Sunday mornings, you ain't got enough for the rest of the week. I don't know how else to say it. We gotta be disciplined in reading the word of God. We gotta get to a point in life that we're studying the word of God. And we can't look at it as an obligation. It's something that you want to do, something you want to get to do. We get to do. Ephesians 4:27, nor give place to the devil. Okay? We can't give the devil opportunity. Christians are giving the devil opportunity. But I'm strong. I can go in these places. Don't be deceived or don't be prideful. You can't. You're told not to go in it. Don't give the devil opportunities for sin. In the natural, in the literal, maybe, but also in the mind. The mind can take you all over the place. We talked about that in our anxiety class. The Bible says take every thought captive. If not, that thought's going to take you captive. But don't give no place for the devil. Don't go to places that you know God will be disapproved of. There's a reason why in Ephesians 6, verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, or the schemes of the devil, or the tricks of the devil. Okay, God gives us plenty of warning. God gives us plenty of warning here that something is out to get the Christian. Sometimes we think that we can just say a prayer and we're good, or we go to church and we're covered. God gives us, in this Ephesians 6, he gives us his whole suit of armor to put up. Why? Because there's an attack taking place on the Christian. The sinful person out in the world, the devils, they're doing the devil's work. They're just doing their thing. We're the ones that are in the way. We're the ones in the way of what God wants to do, or I should say maybe what the devil wants to do. That's what I really mean. We're in the way of what the devil wants to do. Take the church, which is the born-again Christians, take us out of the picture, and literally, I don't say this in slang, but all hell will break loose. All hell will break loose because there's no representative of God, or however you want to say it. So let's start winding down again. How do we draw near to God? Well, we draw near in our worship and our praise. I want to challenge people that I don't know what kind of music you listen to, but if you're not listening to Christian music, you might be listening and you say it's okay. Okay, maybe it's okay music. But just this week, let me challenge you to compensate with godly worship and praise music on your radio. Just do that for maybe a week. You know, don't listen to any of that other stuff, but listen to godly music. Let me tell you, man, that'll draw you close to God. That does something in your soul. Of course, praying. Make sure that you're praying. The Lord gave me a word that was Wednesday morning, because I shared it with our Wednesday group. And it's really a simple word, and I still meditate on it, and it's for the church. At first, I thought it was for me, but it's for me and the church. And the word is this, is to be still and listen. Be still and listen. That's hard to do. It's hard to do in prayer, you know? We can be still in the physical, but we're talking about the mental as well, the mind. We're still, and I got to tell you something. I shared this with someone a couple months ago. It's like you never heard this because it didn't make sense. Sitting down and being quiet can be one of the noisiest places to be. Your mind doesn't stop going when we have control over our mind. So be still and listen. This is part of praying. Praying is not just praying and praying and praying and getting it done and over with. Oh, I feel so good. I talked about this last week. Been down that road, got my prayer time in, I felt so good, and off I go. That's not a real communication with God. That's not like, it's like if I would go home and spend 15 minutes with Lisa after coming home from work and I got my 15 minutes in, okay, great. Okay, we're done. I'm going outside, do some work outside. That's not really good. I asked Lisa to come out and do the work for me. Why I talked to her. But you get the point. You get the point here is we got to be listening. How else do we draw near to God? By seeking his counsel, the word of God, or a spiritual leader that you may have. See, when we go to the word of God, he speaks to us. How else do we draw near to God? By enjoying communion with him, spending time with him, not forsaking the assembly, not forsaking coming to church. We're supposed to come to church. Don't neglect, that's what that word means. Don't neglect coming to church. Now, I know we have different reasons and stuff like that. I'm not saying that, vacations and all, that's all cool and all that. But don't make church something that if you have nothing else to do, yeah, I'm going to church today. And you can easily be talked out of it. But this is how we draw closer to God right here. And we can't forget how else to draw close to God is by his word, by the Holy Bible. And I know I say this and I got to continue to preach this, is we got to be reading the word. If we're not reading the word, we're not going to understand God. We're not going to know who God is. And again, this has got to be an ongoing thing. And if you're new to reading the Bible, start in the New Testament. Don't start in the Old Testament. That won't last long. But the point is that when we draw near to God, the word of God is what gives us counsel, which speaks to us. There's an answer for it in the word of God, but you're building that relationship up. So how do you respond to God? By submitting to him. How do you resist the devil? By submitting to God. This is the way it works. You submit to God, he'll allow you to resist the devil, and he will flee. You are as close to the Lord Jesus right now as you want to be. As you want to be. It's all our choices. Sometimes we love to blame God when something goes wrong, or we even blame the devil when God says, hey, I put it both out here because you were the one who made the decision. But however close you want to be to God, that's up to you. God says, draw close and I'm coming to you. See, here's it. God wants you. God loves you. God cares about you. He doesn't want a part-time Christian. He don't want a part-time follower. He wants a full-time. Why? Because he loves us. Why? Because he cares for you. We can stand at this point time here. Prayer team is over here on the left and right. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're not born again, Jesus says you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. If you're not sure even what I just said, please come up to the prayer team on my left, my right, over here. Or if you have another need, pray. Prayer is important. Prayer is important. But God loves you. And in Psalm 136, and I close with this, give thanks to the God of heaven. We need to give thanks to the God in heaven. His love endures forever. It's like God just doesn't give up on us. He doesn't give up on us, and he continues to want more of us. And it's just like a parent, you don't want your child to go down the wrong road. But God continues to call out. He continues to give us a warning. Now he's saying, draw close to me, turn around and come to me and meet me. Church, that's what he's saying. So you may be struggling with some things in your life right now. You know, you may be walking on both sides of the line. You may need some agreement in prayer. Say, I'm going to places I shouldn't be going. I'm doing things I shouldn't be doing. I need help in here to draw closer to God. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word in James. Though it's sharp, and we know it's sharp, but Lord, we need to hear it. The church needs to hear it. Each and every one of us need to hear these warnings and these directions that you have in your word. So Lord, I pray that you continue to guide and direct your church, Perry Hall Family Worship Center, and your people. I pray for each and every one of us who's hearing my voice right now, wherever you may be, that Lord, you would maybe give us some type of holy conviction. Lord, just to bring us back to where we need to be as Christians. Lord, we don't want our families and we don't want our finances and our life to deteriorate because we're your children. So Lord, I pray that we be honest with ourselves and get things right, get back on the path and seek you like never before. I thank you for this time and I pray a blessing over each and every person here, persons that are listening and their families as well, Lord. Your will be done in our lives, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for giving the Perry Hall Family Worship Center podcast a chance. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and if you want to know more, we've got everything you need at perryhall.life.